This is How Was Your Weekend with Wendy and Brian. Look for updates at facebook.com/weekendpodcast or how.as/yourweekend. While you're there, please subscribe. There are links for iTunes, Android, and more.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Wendy. How's it going?
Good. How was your weekend?
Good. Sorry, I'm sort of laughing here, but we sort of rearranged the studio, so I actually am facing you instead of like you being like catty corner away from me.
Well, and because we have an awesome guest this week.
Wait, we do? Where's she? Oh, hey, yeah, we do.
We have Stacey Sanford with us this week.
She is the girl with the red pen.
She is the girl with the red pen, and we are here to talk about exciting things. Welcome, Stacey.
Hello, everyone.
So we thought, right, we said at the beginning of this, we would try to have people on from time to time, and Stacey's one of our dear friends that worked with us.
She's okay.
Such a dear friend.
She's okay.
Oh, well.
I'm pretty awesome.
All right. Well, these two will take some punches, folks. I'm just going to warn you. So we'll let them have at it. But how was your weekend, Stacey?
I had a good weekend.
Yeah, what'd you do?
We took the youngster to the Lego Brick Fest.
Ah.
A good time is had by all.
Good.
Until we got to the Minecraft exhibit and my kid had a meltdown. But until then, we did see a lot of grown people playing with Legos.
Hey. So, well, you know, yeah. The Lego craze is what it is.
It's kind of fun. I know two people who work for Lego and they're both adults. Imagine that.
Well, they have jobs there.
Yes.
That's, yeah.
Thank you, Stacey.
Kind of a thing.
It's kind of what needs to happen.
And I did get a nap this weekend. That was pretty exciting.
I took a nap too.
Score. Yeah. Well, yeah. Talking about jobs, right? If people got Lego jobs at Lego, mm-hmm. to your buddies, that's kind of what we're talking about this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, you're right. I didn't think about that. That was not an intentional segue.
So an interesting commonality between the three of us is we kind of have side jobs or side passions that we have done for many years or have pursued in the last few years. And so we just want to talk about people who either take side jobs and turn them into something permanent or why we do or don't do that. If we're really passionate about something and we stay at a normal job. Just kind of all the things about having jobs we've had, what we're passionate about, and, you know, see what happens.
Okay. What is your passion and why aren't you doing it?
There you go.
Isn't that
Look
the title
see,
of
this
the
is,
book?
This is why the editor is here, so she can correct me like she yes. always needed to. Please
Jordan to the point.
Please proof this.
Yes.
So, Stacey, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're passionate about and what you do.
I am a process professional in the corporate world as my day job.
One would say a process architect.
One could call it that.
A senior enterprise business process architect.
If we were going to label
ourselves. Or just a process ninja.
Yes.
Process ninjas.
Yes.
I do process junk. first of all, like, what kind of a, are we talking like, is this a PG rating show? Is this an NC-17?
PG-13.
PG-13. I've cussed.
Okay.
If that's what you need to know.
Let's say PG, because in PG-13 you can drop one F-bomb, and I don't want to have any F-bombs.
No F-bombs.
Okay, so I need to rein in the Fs.
Bring in the Fs.
Yep.
What the fudge? Thought Brian was going to bleep.
I thought he was. He was. He even had a moment there. Good job,
okay,
Stace.
So, yeah, I can edit myself. So I like to edit books as my side job.
I hear you like big books.
And I cannot lie.
Nice.
You other authors can't deny.
And I heard you like picture books, too.
I do. Yep. So I have illustrated a couple children's books. And I have edited over, I tried to count this one time. I'm over 25, I think probably closer to 35 books that I've worked on,
nice.
Typically for self-published authors. Nice. So these are people who don't have contracts with publishing companies,
mm-hmm.
and they just need a little help to polish up their babies.
Nice. And are they of a certain, like, general genre that kind of tends to gravitate towards you, or is a little bit of everything?
So I started off with young adult, which is typically the characters are about 16 years old.
Okay.
And it has gone all the way up into new adult, where there is some bow chicka wow wow stuff. I've also done a couple of,
that's NC-17.
And I'm just imagining how awkward some of those stories have to be.
They can be. There was one where the characters were like shapeshifters.
Oh.
So...
Everybody, I wish you could have just seen Brian's face.
It's pretty awesome. It was, yeah.
So what got you into this? When did just Stacy wake up one day and be like, you know what? I think I'm going to edit some books. I think that could be fun. And now you absolutely love doing it.
So I am OCD. And all through life, I've always been the person that people send their stuff to proofread.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah, I know.
I have multiple times.
Yep. So it's just kind of something that I've just naturally gravitated towards. I did have a friend who wanted to write a book, and she always used to send me her stuff so that I could proofread it for her. And she asked me if I would be interested in editing, and I said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it started off with her, and then we went to a couple book conventions and met different authors, and then I got hooked up with another author who hooked me up with another author who...
Word of mouth. It's the best advertisement,
and
folks.
And so on, yep. So since then, I usually have 1 to 2 books every month. Sometimes it's more, but then that's just kind of my little side gig.
Nice. And so how do you manage that? So you have a full-time job. You're a mom. You're a wife. All of that, like, how do you make time? Because it amazes me. I couldn't edit a book if I tried. There's no way. I wouldn't remember what happened back here and if it ties to this. Like, yeah. Nope. I'm attention to detail in much other ways, but that's not one of them. So how do you make time to put that level of brain energy into it on top of all the brain energy and, you know, physical energy you have to put into your regular life?
I will say that my husband... is kind of a editing widower. He knows whenever I've got a couple different books going on, I don't have time to be fun mom or fun wife.
Mm-hmm.
And my Saturday mornings, I'm out on the back deck and I am editing. And usually Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon, that is my prime time. Usually through the week, I'm so exhausted, I don't have time to do it.
Yeah.
And if I do, it's really not a good job. So usually my weekends are what I dedicate towards the editing stuff.
Yeah,
I've actually had about a month off now, so that's been weird.
Okay,
there's a lot of book conventions that happen in June and May.
Oh, so the authors are all promoting their stuff, yes. And not necessarily turning pages over.
Yeah, so I had to turn over 2 books very quickly. One in April and one in May for the same author because she wanted to have them available at this big conference that's in Nash Vegas.
Yes, Nash Vegas.
In June. Yeah.
Nice. So, Brian.
Yes.
What's your side hustle, buddy?
I guess it's this podcast stuff.
And how, well, so before I go back to you, Stacy, how long have you been editing books? Did you say 3 years or more than that?
I believe it was around 2011. So we're looking at 6 years now. Yep.
Dear gosh. Okay, Kelbs, how long have you been? You've been doing this thing forever.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, there are times I was a little dormant for personal reasons and stuff from doing it. But like my first job was radio, and that was in 98. So that was 19 years ago. And I started this a year after. Actually, I can pinpoint pretty much the day that I got the idea to do it, which was, I think something like October 10th, 1999. I actually post because, you know, look at me, I'm going to post something to the internet. I got the idea at work.
Hey, y'all, look at me.
That's not far off. And,
I got this thing called the internet.
I got home and submitted the idea to my friends. I mean, this was years before podcasting was a thing. It's like I worked in radio and I like computers. I'm like, well, why can't somebody just record audio and put it up? It's not like the idea is totally original. We actually did, we got certain things over the internet. Like if we had like the weather, somebody recording weather for us in another state, they would like record an MP3 file and upload it. Or like sometimes the news, if it didn't come over satellite, it would come over the internet. I'm like, well, why can't I record something and post it out there and somebody else download it instead of it showing up like on a radio station or something? I'm like, well, why not? So I got the idea, posted it to the internet, and people's like, hey, that's a pretty good idea.
Well, there you go.
So I did it.
And so you've continued to do it.
Yeah, for the most part, for going on 18 years.
And you have how many podcasts that you do?
Over time, a lot. Right now.
You have what now in the last few years, like what are your reoccurring ones that you've kept going and going and going?
So we just started this. I just started a tabletop role-playing game podcast.
nerd.
Yeah, I know.
Dude, right? Dice. That's what I call it.
I have a wrestling podcast, which we just started. I have the Transformers podcast, which is the primary podcast I've been doing for years. I have
Happy Days.
Oh yeah, I have that one where I pretend that I never left Wilkes County. I have
you just outed yourself.
Yeah, I know. I have sort of like a, obviously it hasn't helped me much, but I have like a health podcast that I've been doing for years, where we sort of look at the news and stuff and talk about that and talk about food and junk food. Several.
So you two have dedicated a good part of your lives and time to these side passions.
Yeah.
So why don't you do them full time? What's preventing this from becoming the thing?
Another question though first, Wendy. Yeah. What about you?
Oh, what do I do on the side?
Yeah, before we get to that.
I have been, well, I'm not going to go back to like when I was younger because I did it then, but I have been a pet sitter for, geez, almost 14 years now.
So
15, almost 15 years on the side.
I'm going to say something here. It's going to sound terrible, but yeah. I would call you a high-end pet sitter.
Oh, I am a luxury pet sitter.
I would call you a luxury pet sitter.
Champagne wishes and caviar.
Yeah, if they're your dogs, they're my dog kind of thing. Yeah, I've been doing that for 15 years, which often entailed staying at their homes. And so I've done that for 15 years. And I started it, just because I love animals. We've talked about that on previous podcast, but I think for me it became it's how I met people, and I loved the animals so much, and then it was kind of like I don't want to, they're like my own and I don't want somebody else watching them, so if they're gonna go out of town, I want to be the one, you know. It became this thing and I enjoyed it and I met a lot of cool people, and it made me feel good that people felt like they could go relax and enjoy their trip because they trusted that everything was going to be okay when they were away. So it wasn't, I started it to make money because I needed to make money, because I don't know about you guys, but I've had three jobs at a time several times in my life to make sure you get by. But then even when I didn't need to make the money, I enjoyed it and I liked the people and I liked that I made them feel good about leaving their pet and being able to enjoy their lives and know that that's one less worry somebody else has to have. And then I just became, you know, it was like, that's my dog. I don't want anybody else watching it either. So that's been my side gig for almost 14, 15 years.
Yeah,
so.
By all accounts, you are really good at it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I was talking to somebody just a couple days ago about it.
Oh, really?
And honestly, I'll be honest, and I did a little bit of spying in this case. I've always assumed that being a high-end pet sitter, that you were way out of my rate.
Oh, yeah.
I found out that
I'm undercharged.
I could totally afford this. I could totally afford that.
Yes, so. I've been undercharged for exquisite services.
You're saying she needs to raise her rate.
I need to raise my rate. I do. Yeah. And a lot of these people have become my friends. So then it's become even more just helping friends, since it wasn't about necessarily the money anymore. But, I'd love that too. So, but it's exhausting. I mean, my weekends and my life are committed to the next part of the day after I left the office. But it was fun. But so if we enjoy this stuff so much, what keeps us from doing it full time? What do you think?
So I read an interesting article about just because, you know, they say do what you love.
Yep.
And then they say that is really crappy advice.
Yep. I've read, there's a book about that. I've read the whole book.
Oh, so, you did? What's the book called?
Yeah.
Oh, God, you put me on the spot.
Okay, we can figure that out later.
So I love the idea of do what you love.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to make sure that what you love and what you want to do is a marketable skill.
Yep. Exactly.
Is it something you can sell? Is it something you can make money at? I think that with the podcasting, and Brian and I have talked about this a lot lately, I think it is something like even in the book world.
Mm-hmm.
So those chicks and fellas too, but mostly chicks.
Those peeps.
I deal with, they pay money for assistance to help them set up their blogs, their blog tours, all that stuff. And that is exactly what he does.
Mm-hmm.
He could be an assistant to a slew of authors. He could offer that as a service.
Yep.
And it would tie in very nicely with the blog work that he does now and the
podcasting. Yeah,
it would tie in very nicely with that. So I think that there are ways that you could still do what you love. It may not be exactly what you're doing now, but if you tweak it one way or the other, there's a way to make money there. You can market that.
Mm-hmm. I think you're totally right, but one thing though, like to do this full time, I'm pretty certain I'd have to take a pretty substantial pay cut
to begin with, maybe.
See, and I think that comes down to, like, I was thinking about it, you know, there's multiple reasons people don't pursue their dreams, or why aren't they doing their passions? I mean, that's an age old kind of question, but I think it comes down to rejection. What if I put myself out there? What if I take the risk and then people have their opinion of me? And then there's that, the financial stability or restrictions that it may have based on your circumstances. Just the fear of failing.
I'm a loser.
Yeah, like I did it and it didn't turn into anything. And, you know, there's people, most anybody can pick themselves up and move on from that. But that's hard when you don't want to ruin that thing that you can keep a certain way and still love it without ruining it with that, trying to take it bigger. And then, you know, just the what if the work that I do doesn't matter as much to everybody else as it does to me. And I think that's a lot of I think that would be kind of the normal things people would say. But, you know, for me, it was always kind of that, like, you know, the benefits, it's the self-employment thing. You know, it is a luxury. If things get bad, you know, people aren't going to travel and they don't need somebody watching their animals as much. And, you know, all those things have always kind of gone through my head as you think about it from a long-term perspective. But I think for people too, that it's important that if you're going to try, then do it on the side, like we're doing, mm-hmm. you know, and see if it turns into something. Yeah. Or you might get spotted by somebody who already has established something. And they'll pick you up and bring you along with them. And then you don't have to take all the risk.
Yeah. I'm waiting for Oprah Winfrey to discover me.
There you go.
So the name of the book was So Good They Can't Ignore You, Why Skills Trump Passion in the Quest for Work You Love.
Oh, okay.
It's by Cal Newport.
And would you like to give us a brief synopsis?
The title, honestly, pretty much says it.
Reread that title again.
The title.
Slowly and with passion.
So Good They Can't Ignore You, Why Skills Trump Passion in the Quest for Work You Love.
Oh, yeah.
So in that article, too, and I didn't get to read through the whole thing, but it was kind of talking about how also in what you may find is a normal employment field or something like that, finding your skill set or your passion and using it in your work that you have already, yes. As opposed to, it's got to be exactly like this for me to be able to say I'm doing what I'm passionate about. And so I found that very intriguing.
Yeah.
Because I love working with people, right? Pet sitting is that, engaging with people and everything else. So I found that through my corporate job when I had it, was that engagement with people and that ability to connect and do things like that too. But until I read that, I didn't really consider that also was the thing that made me passionate about my job. It wasn't necessarily a particular skill set that we had to do to produce the work, but it was the things that went along with it that made me be like, I am passionate about this. But now if we could just bring dogs in the mix, then it would have been like, oh. And for you, right, in your job, there's a lot of editing and there's a lot of redoing, but it's not the same. It's not a story necessarily that's, you know, imaginative. It's very black and white.
I have found myself really trying to find ways to bring creativity into a very boxed world.
Yeah.
And I've had some
success.
And it's worked.
Yeah,
that.
Absolutely you have.
I think there are ways that you can insert your passion, even if you live in a boxed world. There are ways that you can insert whatever you're passionate about into your career.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be something that you can go and do and that is your job and you're 9 to 5 and that's just what you go do.
Yeah.
But I think there are ways that you can make those things a part of your
world. Or make it so that it feels like you're more of yourself.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, the point of the book, I mean, is that basically...
Oh, now you want to give us a synopsis.
No. It's tying into your question. It's tying into what we're talking about here. So it's you have skills, and your skills can earn you money. So focus on what you're good at more so than, you know, what you want to do. So but what the book is basically saying is that you know, focus on what you're good at, and, you know, like Wendy said, if you can squeeze stuff you like into that, that's great. So for example, like Stacy and I are basically in the same role. I found, especially working the last couple of weeks, that I really enjoy doing technical stuff. I have so tried to not do that for the last 3 or 4 years because I was always pigeonholed into doing that kind of work. But, you know, I've been working on launching the new website, and I have stayed up late hours for weeks to do it because I'm good at it. And
you enjoy it.
I kind of enjoy it. So like at work, I try to focus on, you know, ways where I can utilize what I know about how things work from a like an enterprise architecture perspective, you know, still layer in the business stuff. But if I know how system A speaks to system B and what how data can be transferred across, that helps me be better in the other space.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a total snooze fest. Exactly. Oh my God. I'm like saying the alphabet in my head just as you're speaking. And that's why I love you.
Yes.
Because, you know, Brian and I are in the same role. And that is why he and I have always been such a really good match. Mm-hmm. Because he can take everything and break it down in a very analytical fashion. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, look, a butterfly.
Isn't it pretty?
But more often than not, the world needs butterflies and not databases.
We need butterfly Both. Chasers.
Well, we throw a database at every problem. And I think in general, I think that's
a lot of people do. Yeah.
I think we need to focus more on the butterflies.
There are creative solutions yes. to most every problem.
Yes, there is.
I did want to say a commentary. I was just sitting here watching Brian, and he was double fisting, right? So he had an IBC root beer bottle in one hand and a fidget cube in the other.
This is pretty normal. We've talked about his need to fidget.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
His phone and fidgeting.
Well, Stacy gave me the fidget cube, this one right
she
here.
Did.
I have two.
Did. Yeah.
It's like the official nice one right here is
yes. It is pretty nice. I just saw that those two are different. Like somebody's passion, their side gig was developing the fidget cube.
Somebody's,
like
okay.
and the spinner thing that's like all the rage now. What the
okay,
hell?
Okay, okay, good point. I'm glad you mentioned that. Somebody's passion
yes, I got another one.
Somebody's passion was to design this one here on the right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Within 24 hours, somebody in China had knocked it off and we're selling it for $2.
Yeah, so I
Rat
had
bastards.
To, it was a Kickstarter campaign
yep.
for the real fidget cube. And so I knew that my husband is a fidgeter.
Mm-hmm.
My work husband, Brian, he's a fidgeter.
Per two Brians.
So I supported this Kickstarter campaign and I said, you could go ahead and order some. So I automatically ordered one and I had to wait like 4 or 5 months mm-hmm. to get it.
Yeah.
Well, about month two, he comes skipping in one day like, la, 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 look what I got. And I was like, son of a biscuit. Because we're PG. And he said, well, I think it's a knockoff. But then whenever I brought in the real one,
he's like that's definitely a knockoff.
Angels started singing.
Yeah.
There were harps. It was beautiful.
This
it
one
was.
This one is so much more satisfying to fidget with than this one right here.
Yeah. See, and you don't want people knocking off your passion. That's a bunch of
Well, that's the thing.
BS.
But, like if you focus on a skill that somebody
versus a product.
Yeah, there you go.
But people who build products, that's awesome too.
It is, but they're all in China and they get paid nothing.
Yeah,
no, this is true. Good Lord.
There's no butterfly in that fidget cube right there.
There is.
Okay.
No.
Someone was just given some sort of schematic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one's very basic.
Yeah.
That's kind of scary.
And even just the difference between the two. So like the legit one is there's a little roller ball on it and it's real smooth and it rolls so nice.
This one here.
And that one's like click, 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 click.
The roller ball on this one originally didn't roll at all. I had to nearly break it, pushing it in to get it to roll. And it's obvious that when this was designed, it was designed based off a photograph and not
off of the actual engineering
specs.
Because
like this thing right here is a disc that like you can slide it across the face of the thing.
Yeah.
On this one, from the angle they probably saw, it just looked like a big button. And that's on this one. That's all it is. It's a button.
Oh Lord.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
So it brings up an interesting point. So you get what you pay for.
Yes.
Yes.
Right? So that's one thing I deal with in the editing gig. Right. I have several authors that I talk to, and they want to spend money on a beautiful cover.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, how many people read paper books?
Yeah, I do because I'd like to.
I do too. I like
but
it.
I know I'm rare.
But they have like a specific amount of money
mm-hmm.
and they would rather spend it on a pretty cover versus having someone look at their book and polish it and make it readable.
Because most of them hope that it's like me and I'm not following it.
So
like.
They might. I tell them you might end up selling one book with a beautiful cover, but they're never going to buy your books again because they realize
good.
That you don't know
what you're doing.
You don't know your grammar.
You need to check your punctuation.
What's the difference between having a high-end pet sitter and having it, the clown, watch your pet?
Well,
beep, beep, Richie.
Yes.
Right?
What'd you say?
Beep, beep, Richie. We all float down here. Okay, so if you've read that book scarred me as a child.
I've never read that book.
Why did my mother let me read that book? That's question number one.
What is this book about? I have never read this
book. A demonic clown named Pennywise.
Oh, well, good thing I didn't.
The thing about podcasts, like when I first started doing it, it was...
Not one you would have edited, huh? No.
I literally don't know of anybody else who was doing that at the same time on the whole internet. I'm certain somebody out there probably was, but I've never been able to find it. But now, the barrier to entry to doing a podcast is so low that, there's competition from everybody out there. And most of them are crap. But that doesn't mean that, even if there are 30 million podcasts, if 10,000 of them are good, that is still a tremendous amount of competition.
So how do you make your stand out?
That's a great question. So typically, you got to be in your niche. And this podcast is more of a general interest podcast, which is awesome because I wanted to do that. But as far as getting into that space,
it's tough.
When NPR started doing podcasts, that killed that entire space for everybody else. Now people talk about podcasts.
Can't be This American Story.
American Life.
American Life. Whoops.
I don't listen to a single NPR podcast. They don't work for me. But I know so
they're pretty interesting.
I know so many people. I know so many people who listen to those. But I don't think I've listened to more than one or two episodes of any of them, period. Just not my thing.
So, I like to listen to this How Was Your Weekend podcast on Sunday afternoons. I like to listen to the previous weeks while I'm making my grocery list.
Nice. See?
Awesome.
Hey, if we can entertain people while they multitask, I'm good with that.
Yep. Yes.
Take us on a run.
Eggs,
take us on a drive.
Bread, nectarines.
Something just made me laugh, hopefully.
I guess going back sort of to the question, though, one of the reasons I wanted to do this, one, it's different. And Stacey and I were talking about this last week. I think I'm pretty much a constant learner. I'm always trying to learn something new. And
you both are. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And with the podcast stuff, I'm trying to learn something new so I can figure out, one, how to produce it, two, how to market it, and, three, obviously get an audience. And I try to do something different and harder each time I do something. So, but again, such competition out there, it's really, really, really hard to grab a foothold.
I mean, nobody's going to pick us up and be like, give us a show. Come on, dude. You promised
we have a show. The thing is, I'm so entrenched in this that I don't even know what the difference would be. I worked in radio for years. I have more listeners than the radio station I worked for.
Yes.
And it has 10 employees.
Yes.
But I can't do this for my, as my business because the economics aren't there.
Yeah.
You need advertisers.
It's not just that, but the advertisers.
What about your sign cleaning company? What the heck, man?
I have to fund myself. But with the podcast stuff, when you're doing a local radio station, you can get local sponsors because they know that the people listening to you are local.
Yeah.
I could say, this podcast has, making up a number, 10,000 listeners.
Yeah.
This one doesn't have 10,000 listeners.
No, it should, though.
It should. But I can't go to Pepsi and say, hey, Pepsi, sponsor this. They'd be like, we don't care. And it's not like you could go to a local Pepsi bottler. How many people of them are in North Wilkesboro? three? That doesn't do me any good.
Yeah.
So the economics are completely different. So
what about the Mooresville soda shop?
Exactly. Yeah. Or ice cream shop.
There you go.
Listen, hey.
Come on. There's places all up in this
Kelly, what you been doing? Get it together.
I need you to get your feet on the street, okay? Knees to chest.
But that's a good point. It's not just doing the thing that you love doing. It's having to do all these other things around it.
To support it. Yeah.
And that can be exhausting.
Yes.
Yep. That's why you need someone who can do that stuff.
Yep. Which then there's means, and it's kind of this thing. And sometimes some people say, take a leap and do it.
Yep.
And then there's people like me that are like, I think I need a little bit more money before I venture off
That's
into that
me.
Thing.
Yeah.
I have a son to raise and things like that.
It would be different, I think, if my youngster were older, out of the house, had graduated, and it was just empty nester, and I have lots of time on my hands, and maybe I would go and really try to make a go of it. But for right now, I am just so stinking busy. The few books and editing jobs that I take on per year are just about enough
to
me.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
I think, too, if there's tons of people that say, you know, oh, I'd like to do, or I'd like to do this, or I'd like to do that. But everybody has their dreams. But I do think that people who truly, even if it's just as a side passion, if they want to do it, they're making it happen somehow in their life. They're either involved in it heavily with somebody else as far as supporting it or volunteering or whatever. They're doing it, like the three of us are. You know, we're taking our extra time and commitment and putting that exhausting but rewarding time. Oh my God, Brian just put a clown nose on, so he's not really taking it that serious. So just so you know.
Sure I am.
But
what's that, Pennywise?
How many people do you talk to on a regular basis that are like, oh, I'd like to, but they aren't even doing anything to do, like, to pursue it, not involved in it in any kind of way? I guess I'm kind of patting us all on our backs.
Sure, most people.
Yeah, I'm patting you guys on the back because you said you want to do it and you're doing something about it. As little or as big as that may be, I think that's a huge accomplishment in itself, and we probably don't give ourselves enough credit for it.
I think we should not equate passion with monetary gain.
Yeah.
It would be great if we could make a living from doing our passion.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful if I could just be a full-time editor and children's book person.
And maybe someday still.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think, like, even if, like, I think if I were to stop editing and stop trying to look into being a children's author, mm-hmm. I think that I would be a very unhappy person because mm-hmm. I need to have some sort of an outlet.
Yep.
So for me, it's not about the money. The money would be great, but I don't do it to get money. I do it because I have creative stuff that just needs to get out.
Yep. And I think that's the part of it is to Brian's point earlier, is if there's a skill set that you need to exercise, and if you don't, then you just become miserable or whatever the output of it is. But I do think it's interesting. That was one thing as I was thinking about this week and us having Stacey and this topic on was how many people say they want to do these things, but they never try to even involve themselves a little bit in it to have that happiness, because it does make you happy. It's exhausting and you put a lot of time in it, but there's still something that it drives inside of you that makes you happy. And so people who don't, I would say, if you're passionate about something, you truly think you want to do something someday or you want to be a part of something on the side, go do it, because you're either not fulfilling that creative side or whatever it is, like Stacey said, or you're kind of full of BS.
Yeah. Right.
You really don't. And that's okay.
That's fine.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
Like, but I really, you know, the pet sitting thing kind of just grew for me. But people always have said, why do you keep doing it, man? Your weekends are completely tied up. But there's something it fulfills in me.
Right.
And it's helping people and letting other people feel comfortable. But it's also about the animals. And so you take that away from me and I'm going to find another way to have that fix.
Dog kisses.
It gets kind of a fix. Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm trying to think about why I do what I do. Do I enjoy it? Yeah.
Tell us, Brian.
I don't know. I am very opinionated. I think you guys know this.
What?
I know, right? So so a lot of it I think is in a way I want to educate people to my way of thinking.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, see, I just like the debate. I don't need you to believe like I do, but I like to learn with people at different points.
But like, honestly, though, with part of it, there is reward, but also like doing this stuff very publicly. A lot of times, what's the opposite of reward? Punishment? Since it's public, people comment on things, mm-hmm. can review things, and they'll be like, "Oh, this sucks."
Yeah.
Like this week, I've been working on, again, building out the website, changing platforms, moving literally about 2,000 podcasts and a bunch of material. I mean, honestly, my bad. It didn't occur to me, but people were getting updates in their RSS feeds and iTunes.
Oh, every time you move.
And people on Twitter were complaining about it. And I was like, Jesus, I've been up till nearly 3 o'clock in the morning killing myself for weeks. And you are whining that, but you know what? I should have thought about it. I should have thought about
Way
it.
Way to go, Brian Kelly.
I couldn't have changed it.
It would have still happened.
It would have still happened. But you could have said,
hey, FYI.
In advance, instead of people finding the stuff.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, you're saying you're sorry, aren't you? That's really what you're saying.
No. No, I'm not.
He's got a puppy dog face. Everyone.
I have a puppy dog face.
He's crying on the inside.
He's been working hard on it.
Oh yeah, it's been rough, but it's almost entirely done.
It has been a passion project for you for a couple months.
It's been a lot of work.
We're proud of you for
doing
it.
Thank you.
It'll be awesome, and then next time, you know, hey, your RSS feed's gonna blow up.
It'll never happen again.
It never happen.
I will
again.
Never have to do this again.
Oh giddy up!
We're gonna. What is this date? We're going to pull this date back and we're going to say, remember when you said you would never do this again?
It'll have to be. It's been 10 years. I don't anticipate it'll be another 10 years at least.
Okay. Right. So in 27, June 4th, 2027.
Yes.
We're going to ask you about this.
Yes.
Whoa.
Good Lord. I'm going to be old.
Yep. You know, I have another passion.
What?
I like to speak in song lyrics.
Yes, you do. I'm a big fan.
It's a passion, but it's just really a talent. More above all, she loves doing it. But seriously, it's so easy for you.
I like to accompany it with dance too. Yes,
you're good at that.
She does. She can break it down.
Interpretive dance.
Yes.
So we were on a trip with coworkers last month or the month before, and we were both really getting into that. And I could tell it was really awkward for everybody else.
Yes, because the others we were with were. A little bit different.
Not used to our humor. Yeah, yeah. Yep.
They're fun people on their own.
They're awesome people.
Yeah, they just weren't used to, I think, our humor. And so
I think it was not awkward for them. I think it was awkward
watching YouTube.
In the sense that, like, what are they doing?
That's right. It was the entertainment of what's happening right now.
I made several jokes, and whenever Brian was not around, I would make a joke, and it just fell completely flat.
And you're like, where's my backup?
Yeah, but, you know, it makes me giggle.
Yeah.
A lot of the times I say things just for my own amusement.
Hey, so I'm glad you brought that up, because one of Stacey's happiest days is when somebody reciprocates back.
Yes.
When Brian did it for the first time, it was like giddy 12-year-old girl. And when Eva did it for the first time, that was a big, that was like the biggest reward in the world.
It's like Christmas.
It is.
And my husband does the same thing. So at home,
you speak to each other in that way.
We just go back and forth.
We just need to follow them with a camera one day and watch it happen.
I would love to see that.
That would be amazing.
He's funny.
That would be awesome.
It's funny. Yeah.
Hey, you got to have funny. Mm-hmm. Not.
He's an awesome guy. He yelled at me from across the coffee shop at work yesterday.
Do you just like him because his name's Brian too?
I'd like him even if his name wasn't Brian.
Oh, okay. That's
you know, talking about socially awkward.
We love you, Brian Sanford.
Yeah, socially awkward.
We all are.
So the fact that he did yell at you from across that's huge.
Yes, it is. I recognize that.
He likes you. And I did tell him last night, I was telling him about how you said that next thing you know, Tom Cruise is doing a remake and he's in The Mummy.
No, Lord.
And I said, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
It looks weird.
And Kilby said, well, you know, next they're going to redo Lord of the Rings with Tom Cruise and Scarlett Johansson as Galadriel. And then he had this whole big skit where he was like Shadowfax the horse and he's Gollum. And I was telling my husband about it and he laughed.
Well, that's an interesting thing too, because Brian, like, he has a passion and he did it for a long time, right? And then he backed away from it.
Yep.
Because either it wasn't fun anymore, it wasn't as creative anymore because of the demands of other people, like, coming into his passion, because he did remodeling and construction. And it's funny, like, that's funny you brought up that, like, hit me. It was like, he did his passion for a long time and then the passion started getting, like, you know, people were budging in on it and it wasn't fun anymore for him.
So, you know, we were at a service this morning and they were talking about the graduates that were there. And so they introduced each of the graduates from the high school and the college and what they were going to major in and then what their future career was going to be. And I thought it was interesting because we talked about the decline of kids going into the trades.
Vocational, yeah.
So there was actually a guy who was going in, he was going to be an electrician. There was another guy who was going into construction management.
That's amazing.
So I thought it was pretty awesome. So yeah. I know my husband still does have a very big interest in that field. So uh-huh. I wouldn't be surprised if he would try
flex back
into it at some point.
Yeah. But that's the beauty too. You can control how far in or how far out you want to be from it. But
he can be a honeydew helper on the weekends.
Yep.
He's done that with several of our friends.
Yeah.
He enjoys it.
Hey, I got a honeydew list. I'm maybe calling up old Brian Sanford.
I have a honeydew. You can borrow.
Only if your list is done. So any other thoughts, guys, that we want to share with our listeners about pursuing their passions or anything?
I would say another. One more thing, and I it wasn't the same book, but somebody had mentioned it. I think it may have been in the article Stacey was talking about. It's not just about pursuing your passions or pursuing what you're good at. It's also about pursuing opportunities and how opportunities are probably the most important thing when it comes to being successful. And if being successful is monetary, that's how I'm defining it in this sense.
Yeah.
There are other ways.
Everybody has
it.
Their definition of success.
But if that's the case, have fun with your passions, but don't necessarily assume that you're going to, butter your bread with them.
I have a different take. I think pursue your passion, even if it doesn't lead to monetary success, because it's going to make you successful in your head.
Yes.
You have to be able to get that out.
Yeah. I think there is a personal health connection with it.
Yeah.
Right. It's about feeding your soul. It's about being happy. It's about all of that motivates you and gives you more purpose beyond the norms of adulthood and all those other things. So I agree with both of the points that you make, but you bring up a point that I always forget about, but it's the response that when people ask me, you don't have to do this for money, or you don't have to, but you give up all your time to go do this stuff for people, like for them, not for you. And I'm like, but I get something out of it.
You get just as much out of it.
I actually, so when people used to say you don't get anything out of it, I'm like, no, I actually do. Mm-hmm. And until I really took a minute and thought about it, I was like, nope, it's very rewarding for me beyond making a little extra vacation cash or whatever it might be. So I think that's great advice too. So Stacey, thank you so much for joining us. I'm sure we will have you back because, there's lots of topics we get along with. And I think we also might need to have some of that sing-song stuff come.
I like to talk in junk.
Yeah, I think we can have more talking in junk happening.
I'm all full of junk.
Hey, Stacey, quick question for you. So how do people get a hold of you?
A couple different ways. I have a blog, The Girl with the Red Pen at blogspot.com.
So that's The Girl with the Red Pen .blogspot.com.
That is correct.
Hey, I can remember things.
Yeah. I also have a Twitter handle. I am Girl with Red Pen.
Girl with Red Pen.
At Twitter.
Awesome. So that's, is that an indefinite article or is that a definite article? I don't remember.
Yes.
Brian, what are you doing next weekend, buddy?
Honestly, right now, I think that we may be entertaining the nephew.
Oh, the nephew or nephews?
I don't know how much we entertain the youngest nephew.
He's still young.
He's
just
very
kind of
young.
A blob.
Yeah. He's a chunk.
Well, cool. Well, we'll have new fun topics coming up. We're reading a book right now, The Rejection Book. Rejection proof. Yeah. So we'll be talking about that coming up as well. So until then, have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been How Was Your Weekend. Please subscribe at our website howwas/yourweekend. That's howw.as/yourweekend. Please leave a review and tell a friend.